This is Franchise Friday, a short episode designed to talk all things franchising. As a listener of the Path to Freedom podcast, you know you want to take control of your life and create more freedom for yourself. But have you ever stopped to consider franchise ownership as an avenue for doing just that? Owning a franchise means you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. And it can be a great way to become a first-time business owner, or even for a seasoned entrepreneur to expand their portfolio and break into a new business. But where do you even start? I know firsthand how overwhelming of a process it can be to figure out which franchise companies are good, which ones might be a good fit for you, and how to go about vetting them. And that's exactly what I'll be talking about in these episodes. I'll be detailing the methodical process I use with my consulting clients to help them navigate what would typically be an overwhelming process. There's an art to finding the right franchise for you and conducting a thorough investigation, and that's what I'll be unpacking on Franchise Fridays. Thanks for tuning in. Let's drop in. Well, hello there, and happy Franchise Friday. Thanks for dropping in with me today. Hopefully, you've had a chance to tune in to the previous episodes of Franchise Friday. If you haven't, I recommend you start from the beginning because this series is all about helping you understand how to methodically go about identifying and investigating franchise businesses that are likely to be a good fit for you and what you're looking to accomplish. So definitely recommend starting at the beginning, listening to my previous episodes because each episode builds off of the ones before. So with that being said, in last week's Franchise Friday episode, I went into quite a bit of detail of the process that I use when I start working with someone to help them first and foremost get clear on the types of franchise businesses that are likely to be a good fit for them. So we talked about, you know, really sitting down and spending some time getting clear on what it is you're looking to accomplish through owning a business. We talked about really thinking through, how do you want to spend your time as a business owner? Different franchise businesses are going to have different requirements and different expectations from their franchise owners. So, you know, you want to really get clear on how do you want to spend your time? What do you envision your role as the owner of the business being? What are your strengths? What are your skill sets? What do you enjoy doing? What do you not enjoy doing? Get clear on all of these things. I talked about the fact that as I'm working with people through this process, before we ever talk about specific companies, before we even talk about specific industries that we might look at businesses in, we get clear on the goals, the motivations, and the role of the owner. And I compile what I call a personal business model for each person that I work with that summarizes all of these things. Once we have that personal business model completed, that is then a guide for me to go out and start putting together a short list of franchise companies. And these are going to be franchise companies that have business models and are looking for franchisees whose role will match up with that of the personal business model of the person that I've been working with. So once we've done all that, then we can start shifting our focus a little bit to what types of industries could be of interest, what specific businesses. And then before we even start investigating specific franchises, we also check to make sure that the franchises that make it to the shortlist, that they have territory available in the area of interest of the person I'm working with. So this is something that I see a lot of people waste a bunch of time on. They, you know, start doing a bunch of internet research on franchise companies, hours and hours and hours into it, they realize that franchise doesn't even have anything available in their area. They've already sold franchises in that area. So highly recommend, if you're not going to work with a consultant like myself through this process, you know, do some outreach to a franchise company before you spend too much time researching it to make sure that they are even in a position to sell a franchise. All right, but once you've confirmed territory is available, my recommendation is try to narrow your list down to no more than three different franchise companies that have business models and that the role of the owner lines up with what you're looking for and that have good territory available. So when I'm working with people through this process, we never actively investigate more than three franchises at a time. And the reason for that is anything more than three, in my experience, is simply overwhelming. It's information overload. To go through this process the right way, investigating a franchise, it's not a 1 or 2 day process. This is a, 2 to 4 week process for most people to go through it the right way. And as I mentioned, any good franchise company is going to have a very structured, very methodical process in place that they are going to require someone to go through before ever even offering them a franchise. You know, we've talked already, but I want to reiterate on this. We've talked about the fact that with good franchise companies, this investigative process is a mutual evaluation. Yes, they're going to teach you about their business. They're going to educate you. They're going to answer your questions. They're going to give you all the information that you would need to really determine if their franchise business could be a good fit for you. But at the same time, they're going to be learning about you. They're going to be getting to know you. They're going to be investigating you so that they can determine and feel confident that you're a good fit for them, that you'll represent their brand the right way, that you will have a high likelihood of being successful as a franchisee in their business. So that's so important to keep in mind as you go into this process. So point I'm getting at is this is not a process that you can expect to put a couple of hours into to gather all the information that you would need to confidently determine if a franchise is a good fit for you. Nor can the franchisor get to know you well enough in a handful of hours or a couple of days to make that determination. So my suggestion is limit it to no more than three at a time. Now, if you get to the point with a company and realize it's not a good fit for you, then you can eliminate it from the list and you can always add another one to that list. But just for the sake of not being overwhelmed with information, limit it to no more than three. And so, what I want to talk about in today's episode is, what to expect from the franchisors when it comes to this investigative process. And as I've already mentioned, good franchisors will have a very structured, very methodical process, and they'll outline that for you, at the onset of your initial conversations with them. And this process could vary a little bit depending on the company, but generally speaking, this process will follow the same general cadence. So that's what I'll kind of unpack in today's episode. And then in future episodes, we'll take a deeper dive into kind of each of the different phases of this investigative process. So again, want to reiterate, before you start actually having conversations with franchise companies, first and foremost, make sure you've really spent some time getting clear on what it is you want to accomplish, what you want your role of the as an owner in the business to be, and identify key characteristics of the business model that are going to be most appealing or most attractive to you. So get that personal business model dialed in, use that as your guide to then go out and put together your list of companies. But anyways, once you've gotten to that point, once you've made contact with a representative from the franchise company, if you're taking on this process on your own, not working with a consultant like myself, usually the first step before a franchisor is even going to spend a whole lot of time talking with you is they're going to want to get some basic information from you. They're going to want to know where you are in the country, where you'd be interested in operating a business. They're going to want to know a little bit about, your background, your professional background, maybe even a little bit about you personally. And then they're probably going to ask you for some financial information. They're going to want to get a sense of, your assets, your liabilities, ultimately your net worth. They want to know, are you even in a financial position to buy one of their franchises? So don't be surprised if, one of the first steps a franchisor asks you to go through is to, fill out some sort of a questionnaire, including some financial information. Assuming all of that checks out and you meet their requirements, then they're usually going to want to have you start working with one of their representatives, usually referred to as a franchise development representative. And this person's role with the franchisor is to essentially guide you through this investigative process. They're going to be your primary point of contact as you go through this whole investigative process. It's also their role to get to know you and determine whether or not they think you're a good fit to continue moving forward in the process. So once you've made contact with the franchise development representative, usually this process will be structured around a series of phone calls or webinars with key information being delivered in between these meetings. So a lot of franchise companies, you know, prior to even an initial conversation, assuming you've, met their criteria up to that point, they may send you a brochure of some sort, an electronic brochure. They may send you, a webinar to watch that gives you kind of a good overview. Most good franchise companies do have, franchise websites that have some good information. Usually this is going to be more high level information. It's not going to get, super into the nuts and bolts of how they do what they do, but give you enough information to determine if it's, a concept that you're interested in learning more about. So in that initial phone call or webinar with the franchise development rep, that first call is probably going to be pretty high level. I see some people go into that first call and, they're wanting to get right down to it. They're wanting to get down to the numbers and the economics of the business. And they're like, hey, I want to talk to franchisees. And most franchisors are going to want you to kind of pump your brakes a little bit and make sure that, first and foremost, you understand the basics. And again, they're going to want to spend quite a bit of time in that first call getting to know you. So don't be surprised if going into that first meeting with a franchisor, they have a lot of questions for you. Because again, they're looking at you just as closely as you're looking at them to determine, could this be a good fit? So that first kind of step in the process is, again, usually pretty high level, a lot of general information. And usually some good resources to go with that, webinars, brochures, videos, etc. And at some point in this process, with some franchisors, it may be after the very first meeting, with some it may be after a second meeting, but at some point they are legally required actually to disclose you with a document called the Franchise Disclosure Document. And you'll hear this referred to as an FDD for short. So franchising is regulated by the FTC here in the United States. The Federal Trade Commission regulates franchising to protect the buyers or prospective buyers of franchises. So one of the FTC requirements is that every franchisor, any company that sells franchises, is required to have this legal document and is required to disclose it to anyone that expresses a legitimate interest in learning more about their franchise opportunity. So the FDD is a wonderful tool that can be used throughout this entire investigative process. It's a key component of this. Franchisors are required to update their FDDs at least once a year. That way you can make sure that you're looking at current information. So, in short, and again, I'm going to do a whole episode just about FDDs because it's, like I said, such a critical part of this. I've actually got an episode coming out soon where I'll be interviewing a franchise attorney. He's going to give a lot of great information about franchise disclosure documents and how to really go about understanding what's in them and using that information to help you as you go through this investigative process. But essentially what an FDD is, it's a legal document that summarizes the relationship between the franchisor and the franchisee. And it outlines everything, what the franchisor is responsible for, what the franchisees are responsible for. And this is so good because what that means is, as you're going through this process, if you're going about it the right way, if you're being thorough, an FDD is going to essentially give you all the information in terms of what you would be responsible for as a franchisee, meaning if you decide to move forward with a franchise, there should be no surprises. No surprises on the back end of becoming a franchisee, no hidden fees, no costs that you weren't aware of, no clauses that you weren't already disclosed with that now you're finding out, you know, you're responsible for as a franchisee. So that's, you know, at the heart of it, why an FDD is so important, right? And the nice thing about FDDs, because when you first see an FDD, I mean, this happens to pretty much everyone the first time they see one, it's overwhelming. It's usually, you know, at least 150 pages, sometimes much longer, of legal jargon, right? I mean, it's not, definitely not the most riveting thing that you'll read, an FDD, but nonetheless, very important and full of good information that you need to be aware of. But these FDDs are all laid out in the same format. They all contain 23 items, each item containing the same information in it, but relative to whatever franchisor's FDD it is. So, you know, you'll get a history of the company. You'll get a complete description of the business model of the franchise. You'll get a complete breakdown of the franchise fees and what that includes. And, you know, assuming it's a territory-based franchise, how they define territories, you'll get a very detailed breakdown of all the costs and fees that you would be responsible for as a franchisee. You also get a very detailed breakdown of what the franchisor calls the estimated initial investment range. And several episodes ago in Franchise Friday, I went into a lot of detail about what franchisors mean when they give you this estimated initial investment range. So there's a section in the FDD that gives you a categorical breakdown of everything that they account for to get to that range. So you have a very realistic idea of how much capital you would need to not only become a franchisee, to not only get your franchise business open, but also usually they include operating capital, funds to have on hand as you open your business and as you start ramping it up. FDDs would even, you know, tell you if that franchisor has ever had any litigation in their history, whether that's them suing franchisees or franchisees suing them. So you get, you know, a lot of insight into the legal history. You know, if there's been any failures, ownership transfers, franchise agreement terminations, all of this is outlined in the FDD. And then there's a section within the FDD called Item 19. Most franchisors, unless they are a brand new franchisor, do include information in an Item 19. This is a section that most people spend a lot of time reviewing because Item 19 is where a franchisor can disclose financial performance information from their franchisees. And we'll do an entire episode about, you know, item 19 most likely and how to actually process the information that's in there and how to use that along with other steps in this process to really get a sense of what the financial opportunity is with a certain franchise business. Because again, franchising being regulated by the FTC, a franchisor legally cannot make anything that would be considered an earnings claim, right? So they can't say, hey, if you buy our business, no doubt you'll break even in the first 6 months, or, you know, no doubt you'll have at least X percent profit margins by the end of your first year. They can't guarantee that, right? But they do, in a legal way, give you enough information so that if you go through this process the right way, you should be able to get a very realistic idea of what the earning potential is, and also how you would need to perform as a franchisee to realize that earning potential. So those are just a few examples of some of the information you can find in an FDD. They also list all of their current franchisees, which is very important, especially considering kind of the next phase in this process, which is what is usually referred to as validation, right? So you've been through one, maybe two meetings with the franchisor. You get the FDD. Usually the franchisor, after they've disclosed you with the FDD, they'll schedule a meeting with you to kind of review through it, answer any questions that you may have about it, clarify anything that needs clarification. And typically sometime after this point in the process, again, this can vary a little bit, you know, from one company to the next, but at some point in the process, you're going to have the opportunity to talk to other franchisees. Again, this is usually referred to as validation. And in my opinion, and in my experience, validation, being able to talk to other franchisees, this is the most valuable step in this entire process. This is where you get to talk to other people that are actively operating this business, and you can learn so much from talking to franchisees. And again, we'll do an entire episode just on validation, because there really is an art to talking to franchisees, determining, you know, which franchisees you want to talk with, what types of questions to ask them, how to ask those questions to make sure you're really getting the most valuable information that you can, so that you can ultimately determine whether or not this business is a good fit for you. So this validation phase is so, so critical. And I would just tell you that if you're talking to a franchisor and they are hesitant to let you speak to any of their franchisees, or if they tell you that you cannot speak to any of their franchisees, or, you know, if they make it difficult, really, if they don't encourage you or require you to talk to franchisees, I mean, most good franchisors are not just going to encourage you to talk to franchisees, they will require it. If you were to say, hey, I haven't talked to any franchisees, I don't think I really need to, they're probably not going to let you continue forward in their process. And they shouldn't, because you can learn so, so much from talking to other franchisees in the business. So again, validation is so important. You know, when I'm working with people through this process, you know, they probably get tired of hearing me say it, but it's validate, validate, validate. What are you hearing from the franchisor? What are you learning? Great. Validate everything you hear and learn from the franchisor with franchisees to make sure that that's the reality, that that's what you're hearing that's what the franchisees are experiencing in real life. And again, when it comes to earnings, right, this is the usually one of the most prominent questions that people have as they're going through this process is, you know, can I really make money in this business? What does that look like? Again, franchisors legally can't, you know, answer that question for you, because there's a lot of variables involved, and you as the franchisee happen to be one of the biggest variables. You know, you will have to perform and execute to, you know, realize the financial opportunity. But franchisees can be very helpful in helping you get a realistic picture of this, because franchisees can share any experience that they've personally had. They can answer any of your financially related questions. They can tell you how long it took them to break even. They can tell you, you know, what their profit margins are. They can tell you how much they paid themselves. They can answer any questions specific to, you know, their own experience. And, you know, franchisees, no different from anything else in life, right? Any franchise system is going to have a bell curve. They're going to have top performers. They're going to have underperformers, and everyone in between, right? So you could definitely talk to franchisees in the same business, and, you know, one's been much more financially successful than another. So my recommendation is always talk to a variety of franchisees. You probably don't want to just talk to one or two. When I'm working with people, I always recommend talking to at least five or six different franchisees. But what you need to do is kind of identify some common themes, right? If you talk to a handful of very successful franchisees, what do they have in common? If you talk to one or two franchisees that are maybe not quite as successful, what do they have in common? And you use everything that you're learning to, again, get a realistic picture of what the opportunity is, but then also get a good sense of what you have to do as the franchise owner to be successful. And then at some point, you have to look in the mirror a little bit and say, am I likely to operate this business in the same manner that these successful franchisees that I talk to would? So again, validation, such an important part of this process. And then usually kind of the final step, one of the final steps in the process is going to be, you know, getting together and meeting with the franchisor. In a lot of cases up to this point, you've been primarily interacting with the franchise development rep. You've talked to some franchisees. you may have had the chance to interact with some other people in the home office, maybe someone that oversees marketing or someone that oversees operations. But in all likelihood, you haven't interacted with a whole lot of other people other than the franchise development rep and franchisees. So as we've talked about, this is a mutual evaluation. Most franchisors actually structure this entire process as an approval process. So once you complete the process, the franchisor has to come back to you and say, congratulations, you've been approved to become a franchisee. And until you have gotten that approval, you could not buy a franchise even if you wanted to. So usually the final step to get that approval is a lot of different terms for it. The most common term you'll hear is discovery day. You'll hear meet the team day. You'll hear join the team day. You'll hear confirmation day. A lot of different terminology, but discovery day is probably most common. And that is really a chance for, you know, you as the prospective franchisee to have the opportunity to sit down and meet with the franchisor. Usually this is primarily the leadership team at the franchisor, but it's really a chance for everyone to sit down and really get to know each other and determine, you know, is this a good partnership? Is this a good fit? Should we move forward? Pre-COVID, discovery days pretty much always happened in person, usually at the franchisor's headquarters. COVID has obviously changed that up a little bit. A lot of franchisors are doing these discovery days virtually right now, depending on where the franchisor is headquartered. Some are doing them in person and giving people the option to attend virtually. You know, my opinion is that in person is certainly better, you know, when that's a safe, practical option, because nothing beats sitting down in person face to face with, you know, someone that you're potentially partnering in. And at the end of the day, that's what this is, right? It's a partnership. So great opportunity to really meet the team that would be behind you, supporting you as a franchisee. If this process has been structured right, and if you've gone through this process the right way, you should not go into a discovery day setting, whether it's virtual or in person, and still have a lot of questions about the business itself and how this all works, right? It really should be a confirmation day, meaning what I tell the people I work with is, look, if you're going to attend a discovery day, you need to be at least 90% sure, if not more so, that this is the right franchise for you. And you're going there to confirm everything that you've learned. You're going there to confirm that this is the right fit for you, you know, to pick up that additional 5 to 10% certainty that this is the right franchise business for you. You're not going there because you still have a lot of questions that need to be answered. If that's the case, you need to communicate with your franchise development rep and you need to let them know that, hey, I've got questions about this. I'm not quite clear on how this works, or this is a concern of mine. You know, even go back in the backwards in the process if you need to get clarity on these things before committing to going to a discovery day. Because what happens is at this discovery day, assuming the franchisor and the leadership team like you and approve you, usually within a day or two of that discovery day, they're going to come back and say, hey, congratulations, you've been approved. We think you would be a great addition to our family. We'd love to have you join us. And that's when you've got to make a decision, right? And good franchisors are not, you know, they're not putting you in high pressure situations. They're not holding a gun to your head, you know, trying to have you make a decision on the spot. But at the same time, they've quickly come back to you and said, hey, you're approved, right? They were decisive. They're looking at you to see, are you decisive? Can you make a decision? Can you commit? So if it's going to take you weeks or months to make a decision to commit after you've been approved by the franchisor, that doesn't look so great in the franchisor's eyes. The longer you take to make a decision, the franchisor starts to question, you know, your confidence in the brand. They might start to question your confidence in yourself as a business owner. You know, franchisors know that one of the most important qualities in any successful business owner is the ability to be decisive. So if they see you really start to waffle and can't make a decision, even though you've gone through this very thorough process, you've gathered all of the information that you need, that can start to be a red flag, especially the longer that it drags out. So again, that's why I say, if you are not at least 90% certain that this is the right franchise business for you, don't go to the discovery day. I've seen people go to discovery days, get approved, and then they just can't make that decision. They can't commit. And after a certain point, the franchisor comes back and says, you know what? We really appreciate the time. We think you're a great person, but you know, it seems like you're really having trouble committing to us. So that tells us this is not a good fit. And then boom, the opportunity's off the table. So you don't want to find yourself in that situation. So, you know, what I tell the people I work with is like, look, better to delay a discovery day by a couple of weeks or a month so that if you're going to go, you can make sure you're very certain that should you be approved, and unless you realize something dramatically different at this discovery day than what you've learned already, then you're going to be ready to make a commitment and decide to move forward. So hopefully this gives you a better sense of kind of how this process is structured. As I said, different companies, you know, this may vary a little bit, but to go through this process the right way, it's not an overnight thing. The really great franchisors out there, they have structured this process so that you can really learn the business and understand what it's going to take to be successful. You know, I think a lot of people look at this as a sales process. Like, hey, the franchisor is just going to be trying to make this sound like it's the best opportunity in the world, and I would be crazy, you know, not to move forward with it. And sure, they're going to be proud of their brand and proud of what they've built. They're going to talk to you about, you know, all the things that they are excited about and think that they do really well. But good franchisors realize that they need to give you a realistic understanding of what the business is and what it takes to be successful, so that if you get approved and if you decide to move forward, you know what you're getting into, right? It's not in a franchisor's best interest to try to sell you a bill of goods and then you get into business and you fell because you didn't have realistic expectations of what the business was going to require of you. Franchisors are in the business of having highly successful franchisees, not collecting franchise fees and then having a bunch of franchisees fall out and turn over. There are franchises out there that take that approach, sure, but the good franchisors, they have a much more long-term vision. They want to bring in great franchisees that are a great fit for their business. They want to support the hell out of them, give them all the resources that they need to be successful. And then they want to be right there with them in a partnership to help them build very sustainable, successful businesses. And that is how good franchisors' business models are structured. So again, we're going to get into more of the weeds on the various steps in this process here in upcoming episodes. So make sure to tune in for that, because this was really just a high-level overview. This really just kind of scratched the surface. But I thought it'd be helpful to give you a sense of, you know, from start to finish, what this process kind of looks like. And then we'll take a deeper dive into some of the really, you know, key aspects of going through this investigative process the right way. So hope that helps. Thank you so much for tuning in with me this week. And make sure to go back and catch up on the previous Franchise Friday episodes. If you haven't listened to them, tune in to the upcoming Franchise Friday episodes. And if you're really considering franchise ownership, reach out to me. Let's have a conversation. This is what I do. This is what I love to do. I love helping people find great franchise businesses and help them in any way that I can as they try to navigate this whole process. So if this is something you're considering doing, let's talk. I'd love to help you through the process versus you trying to wing it and you know, go through this on your own. So you can reach out to me on my website, www.path2frdm.com. Shoot me a note and I'd love to talk. But thanks so much. Hope everyone has an awesome rest of your day, rest of your week. Go drop in. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for dropping in with me to this episode of Franchise Friday. I hope you learned something new. If you're interested in speaking with me about how you can start charting your own path to freedom through franchise ownership, I'd love to have a conversation. I provide a free consulting service to help people just like you identify and investigate franchise businesses that will help them create freedom in their own lives, and I'd love to help you with the same. You can visit my website at www.path2frdm.com or send me an email at wes@path2frdm.com. Make sure to tune in to next week's episodes of the Path to Freedom podcast and follow or subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you know someone else that would get value from this, please take a moment to share with them. Until next time, go drop in.